there's a nor'easter coming, which makes this podcast here even more indispensable than it already is. Welcome, folks. It is the John DeBella Show Daily Podcast. One of the many things you'll be entertaining yourself with indoors, I would assume, for the next 24 hours. Glad you're here. Glad you made it. It's Dave. All the best stuff from today's show. What happened? Well, we kick things off by talking about the wind this weekend and also the free tickets it's blowing in for you all weekend long here on MGK. The Heavy Hitters weekend is about to start. We took a poll to see where you stand on a controversy we just found out about, seeing as smokers apparently waste 6 work days worth of their employer's time going out to have their smoke breaks. We had some fun with that this morning. We learned what some American movies are called over in Asia and welcomed Chris Epting back to the show, this time to tackle a David Bowie classic. And seeing how the Oscars are this Sunday, we went to our resident expert in knowing nothing when it comes to the Best Picture nominees for this year's Oscars. Yes, indeed, yours truly. I did my best to piece together the plots of over half the Best Picture nominees going off of the movie title itself. A good show. Good way to wrap up the week. Hope you guys stay safe over the weekend. We'll be back on Monday. But until then, here you go. Enjoy. It's a Daily Podcast.
Rain and wind today. The wind is supposed to be really heavy duty. So they're talking like 60 mile an hour winds happening between like tonight and into tomorrow.
Yeah, which is why I'm making my mother-in-law take my son over to her house where there's not 100-foot oak trees.
Hanging over your house?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that I need to get cut down that I waited too long to do, and okay. Now I'm sweating bullets.
All right. Well, 41 degrees now. Temperature really isn't going to get all that much warmer, about 43, and rain and wind is expected. But Saturday and Sunday, actually partly sunny, mostly sunny on Sunday. Temperature's going to be in the mid-40s, so okay, we'll get through today. 41 degrees at the moment. Listen, I know the last time we had this discussion, that we got memos about it and stuff, and you guys really got blamed for it. And I'm sorry. So, well, you know, this weekend we're going to be doing the Heavy Hitters weekend. Yeah. You have the opportunity to win tickets all weekend long for John Fogerty and ZZ Top.
What's controversial about that?
Well, you know, remember when we got the memo about you guys, you two should not mention when you're giving away tickets this weekend.
I'm giving away at 9:40.
See, that's what causes the problem.
Send me a memo, Bill.
Okay, yeah, that's what does it. All right, Dave.
Mine's definitely not in the 10 o'clock hour on Saturday night.
Definitely not at 10:10?
Nope. No.
All right, so
can definitely mark
so yours
that out.
Will be at 9:40 Sunday morning.
But
10:10 on Saturday night is what you're considering? Is that when you're doing
it? I'll probably just be playing the Eagles pep band song again.
All right, and then
no
then,
tickets. All right,
not at 10:10 Saturday night.
Nope.
Okay, just wanted to make that clear. Michael off this in the Comedy Spotlight.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Listen, we're doing a radio thing here. Go with it.
102.9.
Screw you, DeBella!
MGK.
And your imaginary Corvette!
Here's a question for you. And as a former smoker, I'm kind of on the fence on this one. All right, a new study found that people who take smoke breaks, you add up how many smoke breaks they take during the course of the year, right, it totals up to 6 days that they don't work.
Wow.
So people who don't smoke, right, they're working those days.
People who
do smoke are getting an extra 6 days off when you add it all up, right? Personally, I mean, what do you think about the idea of giving, if those people are getting 6 days off because they smoke, shouldn't non-smokers get 6 days off also?
Yes, I should. Mm.
Yeah, you should?
Yep.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Joe Bell an email right now.
Okay, because
where does that line stop, though? I mean, you could single out the long poopers, too.
Well, and say, give me a day for that also, Dave.
He takes an hour every time number two comes up. What about me? I'm quick. You don't know if it's number one or two. Slippery slope.
It's only because you're in morning radio. In morning radio.
It's true. Right, we don't play Stairway.
No, we don't play Stairway to Heaven, just a poop.
Yeah, okay. Listen to the Beatles break. You know what we're dealing with. I'm selfish, though. I say pay me an extra six days.
Yeah. Well, I would say if I were an employer, I would go, you know what? All right, I'm going to pay the people who don't smoke this amount of money, and I'm going to pay the people who do smoke, who are taking 6 days off a year to smoke, I'm going to pay them a little less.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'm all for that. But if it really just came down to, should they get the days off, you know, the non-smokers, should they get 6 days off also, or at least a couple, yes or no?
Okay.
All right? Instant text poll.
There you go.
All right? MGK, MGK text, 1 for yes, 2 for no. Should non-smokers be able to get extra days off because smokers yes. obviously get 6? Yes for 1 for yes, 2 for no to MGK, MGK. And right now.
Instant.
It's quick, easy.
Instantly.
Right now.
Instant gratification.
Survey said.
All right, Cindy, how do you think this turned out with our audience? Should non-smokers get an equal amount of time off as smokers do because they take 6 days off in order to have smoke breaks?
I think they should.
You think they should? Well, you're in the larger group. 83% of our respondents said that they should. And just in that same research, 65% of smokers think their coworkers who don't smoke should get at least an extra day or two off, with 16% saying they should get an entire week off. Wow, you know, so... God, I'm glad I stopped smoking. Now I can get some extra time off.
You can just dip responsibly like I do.
All right. There was, during the course of this, some woman called in, all right, who
very contentious.
It was just it was over the top. Absolutely. And I'm going, look, lady, I'm sorry. I didn't make this up. It's a news story. It's a survey they got done. I'm just telling you what came out of the survey. She is screaming and yelling at me like, but you're not honest. I said, look, I do understand. It's just a yes or no. Just go to the text board. Vote no if you disagree. Whatever. She calls back again. Right?
Just trying to make her point.
Yeah, and she says, look, I'm sorry for getting upset. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, I didn't make this up. It didn't come from me. And now here she is screaming again. Right? She calls back a third time. And I was like, no, Cindy's got to do traffic.
She's got a passionate audience.
She's going to call again.
She's going to call again now that we talked. She worked as a paralegal at one time.
She smoked as one, she was claiming, in the office.
She smoked as a paralegal in the office, right?
Like, what was it, a film noir in the 40s?
Good old days.
right next to Josephine, who worked the switchboard. What is happening? I just lost a listener.
The John DeBella Podcast.
You know something? You are nuts.
I am.
102.9 MGK.
What's the drunkest you've ever been?
Oh, God.
Wow. Now we got a really...
can of worms is going to take up the whole studio.
Should have asked me this question yesterday. I've got to dig in. I want to say, I guess around my 21st birthday, but that's probably wrong. I've probably been... I don't know. What did I do last week?
Really? Wow, you're still partying.
Yeah. Steve can drink.
I'm only 30.
Right?
That's true. I'm an old man at 35.
Yeah. All right.
I got so drunk that I got mugged in New York City and couldn't even recollect anything about it to tell the NYPD.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
I know what it was.
Not my finest hour.
I didn't do anything, but I know my drunkest night ever was McGrogan's wedding.
Oh, God. Right?
Yeah, where I was dressed up as a bishop,
and
I performed the ceremony, right? And the bishop started hitting the holy wine really early.
Yeah,
right. It looked a lot like Booker's Bergman, but he kept claiming it was wine.
Wine is brown.
It just came back to me. I was working in college at my sophomore year at a restaurant 2 buildings away from my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Got off work, was hanging, and had a couple drinks with the boss and the GM, and was drinking Long Islands. I had 3 of them. I walked back to my apartment, and apparently I didn't know we were having a rager that night. And I woke up the next morning naked on my bathroom floor. No idea how I got there. And there was a path of what came off first and last. You can tell by where my clothing was in the hallway.
Well, guess what? None of us topped Kenny Bachman.
Okay.
All right, Kenny Bachman was doing some heavy drinking while visiting some friends in Morgantown, West Virginia last week. That's where West Virginia University is.
Okay.
All right. I'm not sure how old he is. He looks like he's in his 20s from the picture. All right. He decided he was too drunk to drive, so he was going to take an Uber back to where
Smart.
He was staying.
Responsible.
It was. All right. When he woke up, his driver told him they were still about an hour away from their destination, which didn't make any sense to him because he wasn't all that far, the party he went to, from where he was staying.
Okay.
Apparently, he punched in his home address into the app instead of his friend's address. And without questioning it, the Uber driver took him from West Virginia to New Jersey.
Oh, okay. Oh my God.
They were talking, they crossed four states. Total for the trip,
I can't wait for this.
$1,635.93.
Dude.
Right?
Was it peak time? That's insane.
Yes, it was. It was peak time, and it was Uber XL. All right.
Wow.
Yeah, you can imagine explaining that to the parents, right? You are not the sweet child of theirs. I can tell you that much.
The John DeBella Podcast.
You hard of hearing, sucker?
102.9.
Shut up, boo.
MGK.
Later on this morning, at 8:10 this morning, Dave don't do movies, Cindy. He's not like you and me. Right, uh-huh. You know, Cindy and I are movie junkies.
Yeah,
I used to be. I just don't have time anymore with a kid.
But the baby's taking over.
I mean, a 60-minute episode is too long for us nowadays. It has to be, you know, sitcom level.
Let the ignore the kid for an hour. Right. And he's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's it.
Put him in the corner. Right. Give him a box. Yeah, some trash.
That's it. That's
is that working out for you?
Right, it
works out great.
Report back next week.
That's it. All right. But later on this morning, we're going to test Dave's knowledge of these films. He knows the films that have been nominated, but he has no clues what they're about.
I know as much about these as Roger Ebert does.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, you know what? If this was Japan, the titles of the movies would not help you at all. Right?
Really?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever seen this.
Yeah, they switch them up.
Yeah,
Lost in Translation, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, take something like Adam Sandler's Anger Management. Mm-hmm. The title of the film in Japan was New York Style Happy Therapy. Okay. Being John Malkovich.
Uh-huh.
Malkovich's Hole.
Oh, well, I just lost interest.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Despicable Me was retitled Phantom Thief, Gru, and the Moon Thief.
Wow, really descriptive. You don't need to see the movie after you hear that title. That's exactly what happens.
The Evil Dead was changed to The Ghost's Intestines.
What?
Right. Where Army of Darkness became Captain Supermarket.
Naturally, it should be that.
I don't get it at all, right? And then it seems it's a thing to do with skating movies, all right? The Goon was called We Are Brawling Skaters, while Blades of Glory is called We Are Figure Skaters, all right? Semi-Pro was called We Are Drunk Shooters, and The Incredible Bird Wonderstone is We Are Super Magicians.
So the titles are extremely literal.
Right, yeah. Extremely literal.
This is exactly what happens.
Yeah, right.
Be prepared
right.
for this.
Right.
This is the beginning.
Yeah.
This is the middle. Right. This is the end.
Right. Wait till we find out what Dave thinks. Right?
Those are going to sound cogent compared to what I have to say.
Call me by your name. Wait till you try to figure out what the hell that movie's about. Right? I'm still trying to figure out what that movie's about.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I can't hear anything. I think it's gone.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
I can't hear a thing you're thinking.
102.9.
Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful?
MGK.
There's always interesting facts coming out about music when we talk to this man. Of course, he is the author of If There's a Bustle in Your Hedgerow, 50 Lyrical Lines That Describe the 70s, the one, the only author and musicologist and good buddy. What's your name again, fella?
I forget.
Chris Epting is here. How you doing, dude?
I'm good, John. How are you doing? Thank you for that beautiful intro.
I get more compliments from people on my intros. They hate my interviews,
yeah, the
but they love
sucks, but
they love my intros.
I'm going to use that as my voicemail answer. If I could get a clip of that after, that'd be great.
All right, we're dealing with the Gene Genie today.
I'm, like you, a huge Bowie fan. Gene Genie, to me, it's always been one of my favorites for a lot of reasons. I mean, one, I don't even remember the video. There was a very cool video that he shot with Mick Rock early on, Streets of San Francisco with Serinda Fox. And, you know, the tune is supposedly inspired by Iggy Pop and Serinda and sort of other New York City influences that, mm-hmm. that Bowie was dealing with. But there's another great piece of it. For all the things, you know, as you know, Bowie would grab a lot of things and kind of synthesize him and then output it in his own way. But he, of course, influenced a lot of people as well. And one of them was the Scottish singer who had a band called Johnny and the Self-Abusers.
I didn't even want to know what that's referencing. Especially with a name like John, I do not want to know what that's referencing.
So they are a punk band in 77, and they're going through some changes. A couple of guys split up. Anyway, they want to rename the band. And so the lead singer, he loves the song Gene Genie, especially the line, he's so simple-minded, he can't drive his module. And so he clips those two words, simple-minded, and makes that the name of his band.
Wait,
the singer was Jim Kerr.
Jim Kerr?
And the band was Simple Minds, inspired by Gene Genie.
I've always loved this song just for its opening. You get that real rough start, and then that, you know, coming in there.
Oh, but, and those Rattlesnake maracas.
Right.
It's killer.
Yeah.
Everything is going right in that track.
It's wild. You understand Bowie influences, but you never would think that bands were being named after Simple Lines. Didn't mean any pun there. Simple Lines for Simple Minds here. So.
But, you know, that's how obsessed artists were. Young artists, I don't think it can be overstated how influential Bowie was on the younger set, early to mid-70s. You know, Bowie was a god, especially to young British performers and Scottish performers and everyone in the UK. And, you know, case in point, you know, look what Simple Minds did as Simple Minds. And it all stems back to Jim Kerr being in love with the song, The Gene Genie.
All right, well, let's get to that opening I'm talking about. He is, your name again is Chris Epting, right?
Yes, that's right.
He's
E-P-T-I-N-G.
Chris Epting, our guest. Gene Genie, the song, classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
The American people are sick and tired of hearing about
John DeBella.
Sick and tired of hearing about
the John DeBella podcast.
Too big to fail is too big to exist.
102.9 MGK.
Come on, I had to play it. Simple Minds and Don't You Forget About Me, a band name inspired by David Bowie's Gene Genie. That's what I love about Chris.
Oh, that's great.
He digs up this stuff that I like. I mean, look, I've been doing this longer than he has, but he has this ability to find these stories, to find these little seeds that happen in these songs, and God bless him, and I'm so glad that we found him. All right. Were you dancing during that, Cindy? Were you?
Well, maybe a little bit.
Okay. All right. Who's the first person who comes to mind?
In general?
No, I mean for the Breakfast Club.
You know what? I'm a little too old for that.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Judd Nelson is for me.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Because when that's playing at the end of the movie, the last thing is him walking off, and it's the freeze frame of him making the fist
on the football field.
Underneath the goalpost.
That 80s freeze frame. Yeah. They loved the freeze frame so much in the 80s.
They did. And Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
Molly Ringwald. A woman I'll never... Well, you know, that was my redhead thing. So it was just.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I saw a gay porno once. I didn't know until halfway in.
102.9 MGK.
The girls never came. The girls never came!
Right now, we're taking Dave to the movies.
Everyone's got to.
Of all of the films that have been nominated for Academy Awards this weekend, Dave has seen one,
right.
Knows about the other. So you've seen Dunkirk.
Yes.
Right? You know about pre-Dunkirk.
Right.
Right. Also known as The Longest Hour. The Darkest Hour.
You'll never get it.
I have a
just
mental block
again.
And I've seen the movie. Right? And you understand what the post is about.
Right.
Okay.
The Pentagon Papers.
And you have a good idea about what Get Out.
Get Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Racial horror movie.
But the rest of them, you have no clue about these films at all.
Completely in the dark.
Okay. So
yes.
I'm going to give you the title of one of the Academy Award nominated films.
Okay.
Steve's going to help me out here. Mm-hmm. Right. And you have to tell us what it's about.
Got
all
it.
All right.
I'll give it my darndest.
All right. Call Me By Your Name.
Well, this is obviously about somebody who has an identity crisis.
Uh-huh.
And identifies as the person they're talking to in the moment. So me right now, I'd basically be saying, you know what? I'm John DeBella.
I
want you to refer to me as John DeBella.
Uh-huh.
Is that close?
The tiniest bit.
Really?
In Northern Italy in 1983, 17-year-old Elio begins a relationship with Oliver, his father's research assistant.
Oh, good.
With whom he bonds over his emergent sexuality, their Jewish heritage, and the beguiling Italian landscape.
And they go on to found Elio's Pizza.
Yes!
All right.
Give him the award.
Right. There's something about a young 17-year-old boy and a guy in his 30s who are having a sexual encounter.
Yeah,
I just don't.
That out.
No, I'm not going there. All right. Give him one, Steve. Yeah.
Lady Bird.
Lady Bird.
Lady Bird is obviously a follow-up to the 2015 winner, Birdman, for Best Picture. Only this time, time's up. The Me Too era. You got to give the woman some credit. So from Birdman to Lady Bird.
Okay.
No. An outspoken teen must navigate a loving but turbulent relationship with her strong-willed mother over the course of an eventful and poignant senior year of high school.
Lauren wanted to watch this. I completely shut it down. Completely shut it down.
Okay. Phantom Thread.
Phantom Thread. This sounds like a horror movie. And it's about a guy who's haunted by that phantom thread that we all feel, like on our arm from a sweat. It might be like a hair from your comb, and you can feel it. You can't find it.
Just stop.
It's a
now.
Phantom thread.
Just stop now. All right. It's a
no dice.
No. You are so far off. It's frightening.
The phantom thread. We all know it.
It's set in the glamorous 1950s post-war London.
Okay.
Right, where fashion designer Reynolds Woodcock. Who's named appropriately, because this guy is a dick, okay? All right? He's a fashion designer, uh-huh. And he meets his muse, who starts to control his life, and his controlled life gets to, it's avoid it. Just
it sounds
literally.
Like an exciting
I watched it.
Here.
I watched it, and uh-huh. Cindy recommended it to me, Christ. And I was going to put a bullet in my head.
Give me another.
Okay.
One of these has to be exciting.
Give him one.
The Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water.
Okay. All right, well, spoiler alert, The Shape of Water is always going to be the shape of the vessel that it's in.
Correct.
So I don't want to ruin anything, but
okay, all right.
I think it's a documentary on flat earthers, because The Shape of Water is obviously flat, proving that we are indeed living on a massive rectangle.
You're an idiot. Shape of Water, at a top secret research facility in the 1960s, a lonely janitor forms a unique relationship with an amphibious creature that is being held in captivity.
Who has seen any of these?
I've seen most of them.
Give me one more. Someone left? I think there's one.
Okay, all right. Three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh, this is obvious.
Right.
It's about a home remodeling company who places billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri to woo Andy Reid from Kansas City back to their home's team.
That'd be a mistake.
No.
The three billboards. They're right outside of his favorite smorgasbord.
That's three billboards outside of Cleveland.
What do you think this sound is?
The John DeBella Podcast.
Could you make a sound like that?
102.9 MGK.
I have never hated a movie as much as I hate Phantom Thread. Right? I
mean, what really, was so awful about it?
It is molasses in winter flows faster than this movie goes. All right, it is.
It's Daniel Day-Lewis. How bad can it be?
And it's supposed to be his very last movie.
Yeah, right?
Swan
song.
He needs another movie. You don't want to go out on this. I mean, it is slow and boring, and I can't understand how anybody would possibly like it. I mean, it's pretty to look at, right? You know, but it's terrible. So Daniel, I can't imagine he's going to win for this. It's probably going to go to Gary Oldman, all right? You know, that was a terrific acting mm-hmm. job. And for those actors and actresses who might lose this Sunday night, we have some advice.
Dear show business professional, with the Oscars coming up, it's time to review the proper way to lose an award. Step one, as they announce your category, gaze into the distance as if pondering the meaning of life. Step two, upon hearing the winner's name instead of your own, fake smile so hard that you literally risk snapping your face in half. Step three, once you're sure the cameras are off, flip over the nearest table while screaming, "Dear God, why me?" Then, without hesitation, apologize to the media. Announce your need for rehab. And get ready for your next role, hawking credit cards alongside Samuel L. Jackson. Follow these simple steps, and before you know it, you'll be back on the path to doing the same thing next award season. So good luck, and as always, break a leg.
The John DeBella Podcast. 102.9.
Yeah, it does hurt.
MGK.